All right, another episode here of Whiskey Throttle Radio. Thank you guys so much for listening. It means a lot. On this episode, we have Trail Jesters, KTM, XC3, 125 Ripper, Jesse Ainsley on. He's currently sitting second in points in the GNCC series after five rounds. So we talked to him about his season so far, where he's training, what he's been up to, and his plans moving forward. Also, on the show after Jesse is another XC2 or another GNCC guy, XC2 rider for Beta USA. It's Mike Witkowski. We also, he's second in points. He's gotten three podiums so far. So we pick his brain on his season and talk about his goals moving forward. As always, huge shout out to our sponsors, Blood Lubricants, amazing company, amazing owner, real big support of this show. So make sure to check out all their high quality racing oil. They got the greaser, chain lube. They have it all. Check them out at bloodlubricants.com. That's B-L-U-D, lubricants.com. And use the promo code WHISKEY for 25% off. Also, huge shout out to Risk Racing. Check them out at riskracing.com. Makers of high quality, innovative motocross products. As always, like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. Subscribe. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Check us out there. And showtime. Number one, XC3 GNCC. It's Jesse Ainsley. What's up, man?
Oh, just northern living right now. Just got wrapped up today, actually.
Yeah, well, you keep me waiting all night. For those of you who don't know, it's like midnight right now. This kid is so busy. I just no time for me.
I wish it was midnight. I wish I could keep my eyes open for that long. No, but yeah, it is pretty late, but I just, I got some things to do and some things to take care of, but can't miss out on an opportunity to be on your podcast. So I do, to maximize every second of the day to be on this thing.
Exactly. That's exactly what I like to hear. Since you didn't ask me how I was doing, I just want to let you know, I just ate some tacos, cracking open a beer, about to watch some playoff hockey, enjoying my GNCC retirement, if you will.
Yeah. Dang, I did not ask how you were doing, but it sounds like you're doing pretty good. A little jealous that you can eat tacos and drink beer. Not sure about the hockey situation, but I'm sure you're stoked on not having to ride for 2 hours in the sportsman class anymore.
I'm surprised you didn't realize this, but I did race 3 hours at GNCC in Georgia, and I actually beat you. So you're probably lucky I quit racing 3 hour.
Yeah, I'm actually really glad. Hopefully you don't grab a 125 and come out. Georgia was an interesting race, to say the least. But, it sounds like you had a pretty victorious day.
Yeah, I got like 340th overall. But, hey, I know this is my podcast, but this is the Jesse Ainsley Hour. You're sitting second in points for five rounds in this year. How's your season been? Take us through it.
Yeah, the season's had its ups and downs for sure. Obviously, coming into the season hurt. I wasn't even really sure I was going to be able to race the first round. And, to come away with the win was awesome. And then... Georgia just had a bike malfunction, and honestly, I can't really say it was the bike or I's fault. It was just something random that happened that honestly will probably never happen again in my career. It's just been, Still Creek had an off day, but I've every race, win or lose, I always have something to take away from the races, and I'm trying to build and learn and trying to obviously become the best racer I can And I think the biggest part for me this year is knowing my weakness. And obviously, like, I won, you know, I've won the last two races, but I still know what I need to improve on and what I was doing incorrectly, I guess you could say. And so I'm basically every day I'm just working to get better at those things and touch up on some things. And yeah, it's like a never ending grind. And honestly, like, Caleb does the same thing. He's a six-time champion, but every single day he wakes up and works on the things that he's bad at. So it's natural, and it's just part of racing and part of growing.
Yeah, definitely makes sense. What I noticed, Jesse, you know, just analyzing you only at two of them, not so much this past week in Indiana, but at Camp Coker and Steel Creek, it seemed like maybe your first lap or maybe first lap and a half weren't as strong, obviously, as the rest of the race, and it kind of put you in a tougher position kind of working your way up. You think so too, or am I just going crazy?
Yeah, for sure. No, it's pretty obvious, especially since you picked up on it. And honestly, everybody has, my competition, myself, my trainer, KTM, like, everyone has picked up on it. And it's something, I think, I was obviously, when I was hurt in the first race or two, I would just kind of not necessarily ride around, but I would save myself for the end, because with my shoulder issue, I couldn't push right off the gate, or I would, you know, hurt anymore. I had to wait till it got warmed up and loose and everything until I could start really pushing. So it kind of translated when I got healed. I just kept riding like that, and I knew that I obviously after Steel Creek, and when I was, you know, a couple seconds off those guys a lap and I couldn't see them, I knew something had to change. But, you know, just like anything in life, if you go to change something, it doesn't happen overnight. And so I've been working hard for about a month on just pushing the first lap and stuff like that. And Camp Coker was a little better, but it wasn't much better. But I was able to come, not from behind necessarily, but I mean, I was 40 seconds down at one point part of the race, and to catch pass and create a huge gap there towards the finish was very confidence boosting. And this weekend, everything seemed to go just like I planned. I got a good start, pushed as hard as I could, you know, got a really good gap on the first lap and just kept that gap onto the second lap. And obviously the competition had some problems, but yeah, I'm slowly but surely working out my kinks. And yeah, just like I said, trying to be the best racer I can possibly be at the time.
Yeah, definitely agree. And it's, at least too, you know, like, you know what was going on. And like you said, even Caleb wakes up every day and knows what he needs to fix. And I think that's, you know, part of being a champion is realizing your weaknesses and then working on them to even them out with your strengths. Let's talk a little bit Indiana. First race, I've watched the entire race on Racer TV, Jesse. It was rainy. I had 3 hours to kill. I said, wow, you know, I'll watch my friends out here. And it looked like, I wouldn't say struggle fest for everyone, but it was better than I thought, but it still looked really gnarly out there.
Yeah, it was definitely gnarly, to say the least. But it wasn't as muddy as I thought it would be. The track was super ruddy and gnarly, but once you found that flow, it was good. And like I said, like, when I got off to a great start, you know, my trail dressers came, like, this absolute gobbled up the ruts and the bumps and everything. I just felt really, really good, and I felt like I could really charge and attack things. And I ended up catching a pack of XC2 guys, like, you know, in the first couple miles, and got around all those guys. And once I got around those guys, I really picked up the pace just to kind of separate myself from the other guys in my class. And yeah, it seemed to work out. And I thought my clutch was going out. I was being way too hard on my clutch the first couple laps, just not necessarily overriding, but I was really keeping the bike in the high RPM range and just really maximizing all my power, and which was kind of dumb just because I thought I was losing my clutch there for a little bit, and I had to back off just a tad. And but come to find out, I just smashed my pipe really good, and it I just bent the stinger and the silencer, and I was losing some power there. But yeah, clutch was good and everything was good to go. But yeah, and all in all, I mean, I got 16th overall, which it can obviously be a little better, but you know, with how the terrain is and stuff like that, like I can't really complain. Still a top 20 overall. I scored some points in the top 20, so yeah, it's been a fairly decent year. But we're getting better and better each race for sure.
On a 125, is it tougher, you know, racing in conditions like we saw in Indiana where it's super ruddy and soft, or is it tougher in somewhere, let's say, like a Camp Coker where it's a bit faster, or even a Hogwaller?
Man, that's a really tough question, honestly. I mean, Caleb won a GNCC on a 150, so you definitely can, the bike will take you as fast as you want to go, honestly. But for me, it is a little bit tougher in those conditions just because I'm not used to them, per se. Like, obviously, wild boar is fine with me just because it's sand. Yeah. So I can kind of just rip it and be okay, where up here I really have to be logical about my decisions and my line selection and all that stuff. I just got to be really smart with that, because in a 450, you get in deep rut, you can just kind of pull yourself out. 125, it's a little bit different. So you gotta be creative and just kind of go with the flow of things. And I mean, riding a 125 in 3 hours is tough anyways, but yeah, I only ride a 125 during the week, and I race and ride. That's the only thing I have. So luckily that's the only thing I ride, just because I don't know any disadvantages, really. I mean, I raced 250A a couple years ago, but I spent more time on the ground and concussed than anything, honestly.
I gotcha. Yeah, I just figured, like you said, you got to be more precise and stuff, where at least maybe on your level it's a bit different, just because you are really good at riding 125, so you kind of can use the power differently. But like, whenever I've ridden one, I know I have to just keep it pinned the whole time for me to go anywhere. And I would suspect that's kind of hard when there's, you know, 3 foot ruts everywhere.
Yeah, we don't go any slower or faster through the ruts. We just, or at least I don't. When I'm up here, for instance, like where I'm staying a couple minutes away from here is a sand pit, and everyone wanted to go ride. And I told them absolutely not, but I'm not going to go ride sand. Like, I'd rather ride a muddy clay rock track than to go ride sand, just because it's good, because that's not really what we race. And I live in sand, so I don't need to be practicing that stuff. I practice when I'm up here. I practice what I'm bad at. Like, honestly, I wasn't that great at motocross when I started. Now, I mean, I just take advantage of all the motocross tracks around me, and I hit everything. I try to scrub, whip, all this stuff, you know. You know, you gotta have a little bit of style here and there. But I feel like I could be competitive at, like, you know, a local motocross race or whatever. And then, like, snowshoe, I mean, it's so different than home. But when I'm up here, I practice that stuff. So when I get to the race, I'm not on, like, an uneven playing field. Like, obviously, I didn't grow up in that stuff, and I didn't really learn how to ride rocks when I was, you know, beginning to ride. But I'm the type of person where if I don't know something or I can't do something, I'm going to make sure if I really want to, I'm going to be able to do it at one point or another in my lifetime. So obviously rocks is definitely the trickiest part to this sport, at least this series. And when I'm up here, I just try to find the gnarliest, the most unfun tracks to ride, and I just try to make the best of every situation. And I think it's playing a huge help in my success here recently. And just because when the tracks are terrible and, you know, everything is not going right, I still, like, have a smile under my helmet just because that's what I'm used to.
Yeah, no, yeah, and I definitely get that. It makes a lot of sense. Another thing I want to ask you about, Jesse, is this. I feel like there's a rivalry brewing, you and Cody Barnes. I mean, he's got 2 wins. You've got 3 wins. He's leading in points. Obviously, you had that 8th place in Georgia, but seems like there's a bit of rivalry going. You guys seem to be battling. And was he the guy, I'm probably wrong on this, but were you guys battling for top amateurs a lot back in 2017 when you were riding like A250?
Yeah, so me and Cody have been racing each other for a couple of years, and honestly, like, there is a rivalry, but we don't, like, hate each other by any means. Like, we're super cool, we talk. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to go to lunch with the guy, but, I mean, I'm still low enough where I can talk to him before or after the race or whatnot. But, yeah, he's a really good competitor. He's not dirty, and I'm not dirty to him. Like, we know, you know, that. Obviously, it's racing, so if we bump, that's cool, but we're not going to try to saw each other's front ends off. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we were battling for top amateur in 2017. Last year, he had some really good rides, and his results just never showed. But he's always been a really good rider. Like, he has really good sprint speed, and but honestly, at the end of the day, I just try to focus on myself and, you know, I can't really compare myself to anybody just because we're so different. And he has a motocross background. I have an off-road background. So we're like two completely different riders, but we have two different riding styles and, I mean, heck, two different fan bases. So it's, it's good that me and him can kind of elevate the class and just kind of keep pushing each other to new limits.
Yeah, definitely. It's Yeah, obviously it meant, like, friendly rivalry, like, you know, you're not going to try to fight the guy or nothing like that, but, like you said, kind of build off each other and push through and, you know, push through that XC2 pack and, you know, get up there in the overalls, and it's definitely good to have a competitor like that, I would think.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely makes the races go by a lot quicker, and it's fun. I mean, win or lose, it's, at the end of the day, you know, obviously when I lose, I'm frustrated and mad, but, you know, it makes me a better rider at the end of the day. And honestly, with him getting second, it makes him a better rider as well, just because we have the same mentality when we lose. So,
yeah.
You know, when I beat him, he goes back to the drawing board and just tries to touch up on the things that he lacks. And same with me. It's just like a never-ending battle.
Yeah, definitely. Let's talk about your new baby. I haven't seen snaps in a while, but I probably saw your van multiple times a day. You got a new ride? What's up with this thing?
Yeah, it's a new ride. I figured I'm at the point of my career where, I mean, I'm 18. I'm pretty self-efficient. You know, I still live with Tom and Ellen, but I'm traveling pretty much 24/7, and I think the van was a good investment on my part just for me to do, I guess, a better job. But I was rolling around in the C Concepts van last year, and I mean, unfortunately, I'm not with that company this year. But yeah, they were gracious enough to let me use their company van to roll around in the whole country last year. But this year, I kind of was on my own and ended up picking up the van, and it's been a great vehicle so far. It's needed a little bit of work, but there's been definitely some late nights and some frustrating moments with the I'm not really a vehicle mechanic by any means. You know, I have a little bit of like mechanical knowledge, but it's been kicking my ass, that's for sure. But I've gotten it to a point where it drives good and I can live out of it if I really needed to, and it takes me from place to place, so I really can't complain at all.
Yeah, and I feel like you got out right at the right time, because I don't know if I'm sure you've seen, but the love bugs have taken over Florida. So it probably didn't, you know, mess your, you had been cleaning that van every day.
Yeah, I did actually. When I left Florida last week or so, I just got the hood freshly painted. So I knew the acid from the love bugs were going to eat it up. So when I got the love bug stopped, actually, it's funny. It stopped right at the Florida line and I needed to get gas. And, so when I got gas, I spent like a half hour at the gas station washing the van. I felt like a weirdo. like right at the pump, just
Yeah.
like washing all the love bugs off. But yeah, I mean, it's important to have like nice things, I think. It kind of I mean, it represents you
Yeah.
and as a person. And like, I'm just, I know the difference between a tool and you know, like things to have, like the like my dirt bike is a tool, and sometimes I do put it away dirty, and sometimes I don't change the oil, like obviously my practice bike. But like a van, it's, I need, you know what I mean, it's
A
taking me place to
luxury.
place. And right, so yeah, I try to take care of my stuff. And I mean, I hope other people see it. And I mean, I did get a lot of Snapchats and saying like, oh, you've inspired me to clean my van. I actually had a couple people like video themselves cleaning out their van and or their truck or whatever, like, oh, am I like you yet? And so like, honestly, if I can just keep doing my thing, and I mean, I think it's kind of dumb of me like posting videos of me washing it, but it's still like, I think it's funny and cool that people like interact with me about it, just because it's so opposite from racing dirt bikes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really get annoyed when people message me about like racing and stuff, but it's just kind of the same old thing. It's kind of boring, so I don't elaborate on it as much as I probably should, as like a mentor, I guess you'd say. And so like when people message me at the van, like I'll have good like 20-minute conversation with them about it. But yeah, it's something cool, it's different, it's kind of associated but not really. So yeah, hopefully I don't have to do much work to it anymore. But if so, you'll definitely be seeing it on my social media.
I just blocked you on Snapchat, so I didn't see it anymore. You didn't inspire me to do anything. I just inspired me to block you. That was it.
I'm sure that would happen to a couple of people, but hey, it's like you know, in NASCAR, some people are Dale Jr. fans, some are Kevin Harvick, you know, and it's all right with me. If you want to block me, it's cool. If not, if you love me, that's cool too. I'm just kind of a laid back guy, and is what it is.
Yeah, and so you said you've been driving all over the place. Where are you now? Where are you riding, and who are you riding with?
So right now I'm in like, I guess centrally west PA, staying near or with Charlie Mullins, my trainer. And so he owns a huge operation up here, and just business wise and stuff like that. So it's cool staying up here. I actually just became friends with Brock Hepler, which is pretty sweet. And yeah, so I've been riding with him. And I was riding with Josh Toth this past week, and just riding with faster guys and just trying to learn from them. I've been riding like local motocross tracks, local private tracks, just all over the place. Up here, we have so many options, it's kind of hard to choose from each day when we wake up where we're gonna go. But normally, like, we kind of decide on a group and or as a group, and we just kind of go to a place and tear it up for a couple hours and head back, wash the bikes, and kind of hang out from there. We put in some really hard days, and it's hard work, but we also have good quality downtime, which is I think is key.
Yeah, definitely. And surrounding yourself with fast guys is only going to help you out too. But funny story, Charlie Mullins, it's not about Charlie, but Tuesday I went mountain biking just at the local state park here. And I don't know how this, some older guy starts talking to me and my coworker. He's like, there's this pro mountain biker. I don't know if you heard of him. His name's Charlie Mullins. And like started talking about him. I'm like, oh yeah. He used to be, or you know, he rode professional motocross forever or off-road. He's like, what? He used to ride dirt bikes? It was so funny. This guy kept was going on about Charlie Mullins. I had no idea about him riding dirt bikes or anything like that. It was like Charlie Mullins, a mountain biker. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, switching careers. I mean, unfortunately, with his situation, but no, Charlie's an animal when it comes to bicycling and just anything in general, like running or anything. Like, he's just super dedicated. And ever since I was a little kid, I've always looked up to him and wanted to be like him. So it's pretty cool to, like, they're like an ongoing joke. Like, I'm Uncle Jesse to his kids. So it's kind of surreal. Like, when Dax is his littlest and comes up to me and runs, and like they're always wanting to play and everything. It's super cool just to be around that, just because I've been on the outside looking in forever, and then now it's, you know, I'm almost considered family, and they're like, you know, family to us as well. So he's an awesome mentor, and like any questions I have, he always has good answers, and he doesn't take life too serious. But you know, at the end of the day, like when we're riding and we're training and stuff, like that's serious business. And you know, when we get done with our motos or whatever, then we'll go to like the trampoline park or do something like fun. But when we're cycling or whatever, like it is grind time. And I couldn't really ask for a better mentor, life coach, or, you know, all the above. He's been like super, super open to like his place and, you know, all the stuff around and the bicycle shop and stuff like that. So yeah, he's a good dude for sure. It's, I'm very, very blessed to be in the situation I'm in with him.
Yeah, no, it's definitely awesome. And, you mentioned like family, brings me into my, you know, next question. Obviously you're on the Trail Jesters team, pitting out of the factory KTM rig, but you still have, you know, Tom's wrenching on your bike, your grandfather, Tom Fleming, and, you know, Ellen's still there, George Pollard's around. Obviously you got Dirty Mike with Ben Kelly. How much does that help, you know, having familiar faces around, having your family around you during the races?
Yeah, it helps for sure. Like, Tom has been pretty much my race mechanic for ever since I started, honestly. Like, even when I was in PWA, I remember showing up to the track and my bike was fully prepped and ready, and all I had to do was get on and win. And I wouldn't say I've been treated like a factory rider my whole life. I mean, obviously, I've busted my ass, and mm-hmm. I've worked on my own bikes and stuff like that. And but, I like, when it came to the races, like, either Tom would have someone, you know, obviously someone really close, like Randy Fall, or, you know, I come back from practice, they would wash my bike, so on and so forth. But back to the GNCC thing, it's awesome to have Tom and George and Ellen there, like, you know, Auntie and Tony and all the KTM mechanics and Woody, like, all those guys are super awesome. But it's more of like a business relationship. So, like, and me and Tom can talk about women, we can talk about life, we can just talk about whatever. And like, just with them being at the races is super cool and helpful when it comes to the mental side of things. I think with racing, I'm not sure how much different it would be, just because I haven't been in that situation. But I'm that type of person where when it comes to racing, it doesn't matter who's gassing me or whatever. Like, I'm just super focused. But Tom has been a huge help mentally with running the pit board and stuff this year. He knows what gets me fired up. He knows exactly what to put on the pit board to make me smile or charge or whatever. And you know, it's nothing like you would think on the pit board. It's like, there will just be little drawings of little stick man figures and stuff, just to like, it's serious. You know, the racing is super serious now, but you know, to make up that 10 seconds or whatever, he's right there with a smiley face. It's like, okay, they have faith in me. Mm-hmm. If they're riding a smiley face, and it's just like, it's this warm feeling. And, yeah, it's honestly, I don't even know what I would do without Tom. The day is coming and we both know it. But right now we just got to savor every moment that we have together. And, obviously like the little fights and everything that we get into, it's kind of stupid when we think about it. Like the days are just counting down to when I'm not going to be able to have him as my mechanic. So, or at least that's the goal. Like that's to get to the factory team, you know, Tom can be my mechanic. So yeah, it's cool that we're able to keep doing what we're doing right now. And, obviously we're on all their products and, I'm pretty much on a factory bike, but to have Tom still wrenching on it and stuff, it's pretty cool.
And Tom rips on the e-bike through the pits so fast.
Yes. He loves it. He loves the e-bike. He was kind of skeptical of getting one, I believe, when and then opportunity presented itself for him to get it, and yeah, he loves it. So it's kind of what he has to do, though. All the KTM mechanics, they have a route to do it,
all
and
the mechanics. It's insane how
he's
many
just
are
trying
out there.
To. Yeah, the Specialized has pretty much ran the GNCC world for a couple years, and they've been a huge help in my career so far this year. It's you know, I'm a newly Specialized athlete, so it's super, super cool to have their support. But yeah, Tom just puts his heart and soul into this, and you know, he honestly, it's like I joke around with other people, obviously not to Tom, but it's like sometimes Tom puts more work into this than me. Mm-hmm. And you know, obviously I try to put in as much hard work as I can, but Tom's working on other people's stuff, and you know, the only reason why he's working on other people's stuff or doing this and doing that is for me. And it's pretty like selfless, you know, like mm-hmm. it's, yeah, he's a good dude. I don't, like I said, I don't know what I would do without him.
Yeah, definitely. And it, like you said, it's definitely even the small stuff, like the smiley faces on the pit board, just like, it's like that comfort level to keep you going. So Ben Kelly, your teammate, he's riding XC2, doing pretty good this year, you know, just crushing it. How much do you interact with him, and how much does he help you out?
Yeah, Ben's cool. He's super shy, but, like, I've gotten to know him pretty well, so we can just joke around and, you know, we talk here and there. You know, I ask these guys for, like, lines, you know, I ask them about lines, and we're all just kind of interacting and, you know, we got a question, we just ask it. We don't really hold back anything. So, yeah, they've, you know, all the guys been a huge help, all the mechanics, you know, the team out there point lines, you know, before the race, they say, hey, when you get to this section, go left or go right, or we'll be there, this and that. And, yeah, Ben is, he works really, really hard. He's actually, I mean, honestly, besides Charlie, the hardest working guy I know, like when it comes to the athlete side of things. You know, he's always doing that one extra rep in the gym. He's always going a little bit further on the bicycle, and it's very frustrating because I'm almost the same situation where I don't like to be, you know, beaten. So he's in the gym and he's doing an extra rep. Well, I'm like, well, crap, I got to do an extra rep.
Yeah.
Or he does another, you know, another a circuit or whatever. I'm like, well, crap, I got to do that now. So I'm like, you know, one day he didn't get a ride and he just went absolutely ham in the gym. Like, Ben, like, calm down a little bit, dude. Like, you're making us all look bad mm-hmm. and feel bad. And, but, you know, next race, if he wins, he gets the record for the most consecutive XC2 wins. And honestly, if, you know, he gets that, he's definitely deserving of that. He's a great racer. He's a really good person. And he's, most people don't know him because he's shy, but, yeah, he's super cool and friendly, and yeah, I'm pretty thankful to be his teammate. You know, to call him teammate, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like someone good to have around. Last question, Jesse. This summer.
Oh, better be good. It better be good.
This summer, during the summer break, are we going to see the number 328 125 Dream Races?
Man, this breaks my heart. So, honestly, I don't think that'll happen just because with the KTM contract this year, I'm not allowed to race any local series, any,
what's not local?
I can't race any local series. I can't race any race that I'm not contracted for. As bad as I want to come race an FTR or do all this other stuff, I have to get approval. And, you know, it definitely sounds a lot worse than it actually is, just because it is nice to have downtime on the weekends and stuff like that. But, like, I'm a racer, and I just want to, like, find races. And especially up here, like, they pay out really good money. So it's like, should I go? Should I try to ask for approval? Try and maybe I'll get shut down or, you know. So, yeah, I would love to. Unfortunately, my last motocross race,
I'll go,
you know, appearance,
an attempt
Yeah, tempt was, that's a very good word, a description is a tempt. Ended up breaking my elbow, and that was a week before my very first ever like official KTM photo shoot. So they weren't very pumped when I called them from the hospital to tell them that I wasn't going to be able to ride. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but yeah, definitely no motocross, unfortunately. I enjoy it, but yeah, just the timing's not right, and maybe in the future I can, but right now it's just focusing on the XC3 championship and trying to get my first full gas sprint enduro win.
Yeah, I mean, definitely makes sense. Even I think feel like even if you did ask for approval and you're like, yeah, if you show them your last motocross attempt, they probably were gonna be like, nah, we need this XC3 title. So, but that's definitely what's more important though, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's I mean, pretty much like that's what I get paid to do. So it's like when people say, "Well, I can't race anymore because I have to go to a 9-to-5." Well, I can't race motocross anymore because I have to pretty much perform on the race weekend. So it sucks in a way, but it's also awesome to have like the structure and I guess the strict, I guess structure, like it's, they tell me what to do and what I can't do and stuff. And most people don't like that, but I'm the type where I need to have that, where I'm not going to do anything stupid, but I would rather them tell me, no, don't race this race and race this race than for them to say, well, we don't really care what you do, because then I'm not a very good decision maker when it comes to like if I had to pick between five cars, it would take me forever to pick between. Like when I go to the mall, it takes hours because I can't decide what I want. So when it comes to that situation, like I'd rather them tell me, this is what the races you need to race, these are the races you don't, and it kind of just makes my job a little bit less stress-free. And yeah, it's kind of like a good thing for me at least.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. All right, man. I'll let you go now. Thank you so much for doing this. I appreciate it. But who do you want to thank for getting you out there?
Yeah, well, thank you for having me on. It's I try to get on as much as possible, That's why I just when you said 7:15, I was like, I got a little nervous. I'm like, well, I don't know if I'm gonna do that time, but no, for sure. I wanted to just thank the whole Traildressers KTM Racing team and everyone behind the team. It's pretty awesome. Just the position I'm in this year is, I've been dreaming of this ever since I was a little kid, and although I'm not, Red Bull factory, it's basically the same exact thing. So yeah, Ross and Onsky and all those guys are super awesome to deal with, and it's just been a dream so far. So and then obviously like WMR and Nihilo and George and Bob and Joe and Woody, my obviously my grandfather Tom and Ellen and just everyone that like text me, and even like when I get second or when I DNF, like everyone's kind of worried and checking on me and stuff. It's pretty cool, and like it's definitely noticeable when the people who text me when I only win and when I don't win. It's pretty cool to have a pretty large fan base for what I'm doing, and I wouldn't really be able to do without any of those guys.
Yeah, I'll make sure to jot that down for the next time you don't win. I'll make sure to text you because I don't want to be one of those guys.
All right, all right. Well, sounds good. I mean, you don't really hit me up anyways. You just Snapchat me videos of you sweating on your mountain bike, but
Well, that's
I don't blame you.
I'm motivating you, Jesse. I don't end up like me.
Well, it seems like you have the most fun out of all of us.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
All right, man. Thank you very much, and good luck at the John Penton.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
See ya. What's up, guys? We've got some exciting news as our sponsor, Blood Lubricants, continues to push the bar with high-quality products. In addition to their already outstanding racing oil, they've added fork and shock fluid, gear oil, chain lube, kick-ass degreaser, detailer, and pre-race spray. Whether you have a UTV, Harley, ATV, or dirt bike, Blood Lubricants has you covered. They're offering sponsorship opportunities from the amateur level to the pro level, and they're already sponsoring top privateers like Tyler Bowers, Henry Miller, and Bubba Pauly. Racing is in their blood, but that's not all. They want to hook you guys up as well. Head on over to bloodlubricants.com. That's BLUDlubricants.com, and use promo code WHISKEY for 25% off your order. No need to rewind it. I'll say it again. 25% off your order with promo code WHISKEY at bloodlubricants.com. Jeff Green, hooking you guys up. High quality stuff. Check it out. Back to the show. All right, on the line with me right now, he's racing XC2 in the GNCC series. It's Mike Witkowski. What's up, man? How's it going?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm, doing all right. Just sat in a bunch of Charlotte traffic, so ready to get this thing going and happy to be out of that.
Yeah, I bet. I've been in, actually, North Carolina, the past month, and I know how that is.
Yeah, it's gnarly. But, hey, coming off of fourth place in the, like I said, XC2 class at the X Factor GNCC in Indiana. Talk about that, man. I was watching it on Racer TV, and it looks super gnarly.
Yeah, it definitely was tough. The track was just super rutted, and I had a lot of soft spots, and then, some pretty bad hills. But, yeah, I just had a bad day in general and just kind of rode in for fourth there. It was, my first bad race, I guess, this year. But yeah, I was just happy to kind of leave that place in one piece and kind of get on with it.
Yeah, it seemed like even, a lot of guys in your class too, and in all the classes were really struggling. Some guys were dropping out. Some guys were, having to pull in the pits for mechanicals. So to come away there with fourth and still, good points, you're still second in the points, it's got to feel good.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like you said, right now I'm second in points, and that's the best I've been, especially five rounds in. So I think me and the beta team are pretty happy about it, and I think from here on out we can kind of build on that and try to just get podiums is the main thing, because it seems like most people in XC2 are kind of inconsistent, and I've been lucky enough to have no real issues and just solid finishes. So I'm pretty happy, and yeah, I just want to keep getting on the podium.
Yeah, definitely a good strategy. So you're from Indiana, a home state race for you. Does that help at all, knowing the terrain and stuff? I'm from Florida, so obviously, Jesse Ainsley and even Ben Parsons really thrive there in the sand just because we're so used to it. But is it kind of the same up there in Indiana?
Yeah, sort of. I'm in the northern part, which it's more sandy. It's a little flatter than that race was. So the dirt was really soft and super rutted, and I wasn't, actually used to it. And then prior to that race, I was in North Carolina for a while, so I didn't really go there and practice, at my home just because it rained for a week straight there, and kind of where my trucks are, it's mainly sand, so.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw the rain was insane, like you said, and they weren't thinking. I didn't see anything about them canceling the race, but it's going to be muddy when in all the GNCC's posts they're saying race is still on. That's when it's going to be pretty gnarly.
Yeah, definitely. Parking wasn't ideal. I mean, I'm sure everyone saw you got to park on the road, the gravel road there. But I think it shaped up good for our race, but for the quad and stuff, it was pretty gnarly. But I actually thought it'd be worse in some scenarios.
Yeah, with watching on Racer TV, it's kind of hard. Some spots looked really sloppy and slick, but then other parts look a little ruddy, but somewhat dry and not too terrible.
Yeah, definitely. The track was kind of in a sense had a bunch of valleys and hills, and then those were pretty tough to navigate with all those ruts in them. And then a bunch of soft spots at the bottom. But, I don't know. I think it shaped up better than what everyone thought. just from being there on Saturday and seeing how it was. And then, like, luckily the sun came out and kind of dried things up and actually made it pretty good for us bike guys, but it still was tough for sure. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, it definitely still looked like even just mentally tough. I know how it is, like, trying to pick a line through all those ruts and stuff. But let's talk about your program a little bit. You're on Team Beta USA on the 252 stroke. How did this deal come about? And when did you've been on them, I guess, for a couple years now, but how did this whole deal come about?
Yeah, definitely. This is my second year on the Beta. In most of my career, I was on KTM. Before Beta, I was with, like, RPM, KTM team. They're out of Washington. I think it was the end of 2017 season. I had, like, a pretty good year. And then, like, Rodney Smith, he's a team manager for our Beta team, and he approached me and said, like, I mean, obviously asked if I wanted to ride for him, and I jumped on the program right away. It was, like, a really great deal, and obviously the bike's good for off-road and what we do, and ever since then it's been really good. Last year was definitely a learning year for us. Just the bike was a lot different from what I've been used to, and just getting used to two-stroke again. But yeah, this year we're having a solid season, I would say, just consistent, and the bike's working good, and just happy with the program and everyone involved.
Yeah, you may mention getting used to the two-stroke. Why? Because obviously in XCT you can ride either 252 stroke or 250F. Why the choice of riding a two-stroke?
It's actually, they don't make a 250F, so the 252 stroke is the only option.
I gotcha. So you were on 250F before, I assume. How different do you have to ride the bike in the woods to, you know, make it suit your style? And did you have to change your style up at all?
Yeah, I think the four stroke kind of suited me a little bit better. It was a little bit easier to ride for 3 hours. But like the Beta is like a great woods bike. It's not like, like some other brands where it rips out your arms and it's like tough to ride for the whole duration. But yeah, like the Beta, we actually tamed it down a lot and kind of made it more like a four stroke feel where it like gets good traction and stuff. And I think, like, that's a lot better than when I first jumped on it. It was, like, super fast and then aggressive, and I just had to tame her down a little bit.
I gotcha. And, you know, you made mention you've been riding in North Carolina. Who do you ride with, and what's your, like, kind of training program look like? What do you do for off-the-bike training?
So, the last month or so, I was just standing down the road from, like, Caleb Russell and Lane Michaels there. Just got the ride with them and do some stuff with them. And yeah, just normally it's just road bikes and mountain bikes for training, like in season, and then some gym work. And then like normal day would just be like a 30-minute motos in the woods, and then like a road ride or a mountain bike ride or a gym session that day. So pretty normal.
Yeah, cool. And obviously Indiana, the off season during the winter, it's going to be cold and snowy up there. Did you, you know, stay in North Carolina? Did you go down to Florida? What did you do for the off season?
Yeah. So this winter we went down to Florida. We first went down to this, Waldo MX track. You probably know of it. We were down there with, Scott Plessinger. He actually trained me and a group of guys for 2 months, and then we moved to a private place in Lake City, Florida, and it was actually super good. Scott's super hands-on. He's obviously did well with his son and brought him up to the ranks. But yeah, that was kind of what we did, and I think it worked really well just being in the Florida heat and different than normal.
Yeah, that even in December or January, that Florida heat can still be pretty brutal. So that's definitely got to help. I think that's why you see even the motocross guys are a lot more coming over to the East Coast, especially in Florida with all the training camps down there. What's like one of the biggest things you kind of improved on with your riding over the off season? Because, you know, just looking at your results from last year, this year, End of last year, you started, you know, you put it on the podium, started getting similar results to now, but at the beginning, like the sixth and seventh, what's one thing you like try to work on and improve on?
Yeah, definitely. I think like the biggest thing was like my, this year, my off season was a lot better than last off season. Like just, base training, I would say, like just, bunch of grunt work and like days that were just brutal. And I think that kind of paid off to like to just the start of the season and just being really ready and feeling confident and stuff like that. And the, and also the bike was huge. We had a really good base setting from like the last round last year where I got third at the last round. So like just going off that and then into this season, I think just the goal was podiums because I knew I could do it. And I mean, we've mainly done that this season, 3 out of 5, I think it is now. But yeah, I mean, just confidence and just a good off season was key.
Yeah, he's 3 out of 5, and the 2 that weren't podiums were 4th. So that's definitely good. Let's take it way back here now. How did you first like get started riding? And then how did you first get into racing?
Yeah, so obviously most people, like my parents got me into it, and like my dad got me and my brother Alex into it when we were super young. I started when I was 4, and then I think I started racing when I was 5. And then my dad actually raced flat tracks, so he didn't do like the off-road stuff. And then we started doing locals at first, and then we kind of moved into like the GNCC stuff and more nationals when we started doing better, which was smart on their part, just to not waste a bunch of money as young kids. But yeah, and then from there, we started, like, I think we went and tried a GNCC on super minis, and I think I won like the youth overall at Loretta Lynn's that year. And then the next year we went full into like a full season of super minis, and I think I won the championship in minis that year. And then kind of, I think we went into like 200A or 250A or something like that. And then that's kind of fast forward to now in XC2.
I gotcha. Did you ever try your hand at like motocross, or was it just, you know, straight to racing trails?
Yeah, we did like some local motocross stuff. Never really tried the Reddits or anything. 1 year I tried Minios, but that went pretty bad. I think I crashed in the first corner, and it was just downhill from there, and I never tried it again. So,
yeah, it even seems like the motocross guys always have a couple terrible experiences at Minios too. Maybe it's just something about Gatorback. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Like Gatorback, I've never been there before except for that time. I think it was like 3 years ago. And it was just hard to figure out. Just the atmosphere is like way different than off-road.
Oh, it's insane how I feel like off-road just more like laid back and everyone's kind of friendly, where it's just ultra competitive in, you know, motocross, especially amateur motocross.
Yeah, like I was pretty much intimidated and people were not like friendly at all. And they definitely knew I was a woods guy because I had like different backgrounds. They were like blue or something. So yeah, they weren't having it.
So you've been at this GNCC thing for a while. What's your favorite round and what's your least favorite round?
I'd say the favorite round is like Ironman, and then the least favorite would be like one of the New York rounds. We have 2 of them now. I think it's like the Black Sky one.
Yeah, I had Jordan Ashburn on the show, and he said the same thing. He just didn't like it. He said it's like pretty fast and just not, I don't know. So he said it didn't gel with it. Is that kind of the same thing for you?
Yeah, it's kind of like a weird flow. It's almost sketchy because it's fast, and then the racing is super close. So like every year I've raced it, I've got like a bad start or something, and then it just isn't good because everyone's so close, and then you can't really make up time if you have a bad day. So
Would you say you're more like of a technical guy, or like what's your strong suit? What kind of terrain and what kind of trail?
I'd say like somewhat technical for sure. Like I like the Indiana, like Ironman I said, which is more like soft soil and has some motocross to it, obviously. And then that one really flows good, and it has like some fast field sections. I like those. I actually do like snowshoe. That's pretty technical in spots and pretty grueling, but I do seem to like that. And I don't know, I like most of them. Some of them are hit or miss. Like the last one, X Factor, I didn't care for that much. It was just a weird layout. It's just one of those days. Just didn't flow very well, but it's just hit or miss. But those are the two.
What about Hogwaller? That place has kicked my ass multiple times.
Oh yeah, that place is insanely rough.
Dude, at the local FTR races when there's not nearly as many bikes and quads on it, it still gets gnarly.
Yeah, we did that obviously this year, and I was pretty in like felt pretty good shape, and by the end of it, I was pretty smoked. But like the main goal was survival.
Yeah, I don't, I guess because of weather and stuff up north, but I don't know why they make like the most grueling, just from not so much like technical and stuff like that, but you know, just wear you out as the first one of the season, just to kind of give everyone a reality check.
Yeah, no joke. It's really like you can see who did their work in the off season for sure.
Definitely. So I got to ask. Ben Kelly, he's got five in a row here to start off the season. What do we got to do to dethrone Ben Kelly?
he's on it for sure. He's super fast, but he just goes for it. I think if I were to beat him, it'd be stepping out of my comfort zone and just not thinking and just basically just going for it. I got like I think a couple hole shots this year, and he would pass me, and I'd try to latch on, and it's just like it's almost like another level, and it's just pushing past your limits and getting a little sketchy here and there. But I think eventually we can get to that level and try to stay with him or beat him would be nice. And yeah, I just need to step out of my fears a little bit more.
Yeah, I watched that. It was like a helmet cam from South, like the Southwick J Day, and I didn't realize he wrote like from the little bit I've watched. I've gone to all the GNCs so far instead of Indiana, but it doesn't seem like that from like the 2 seconds that you get to see him. But when I watched that Southwick GP, he was just going for it, and not even in a GNC. And I get that, and, you know, it started making more sense. But you know, sometimes that'll bite you. You know, pushing past your comfort zone and sending it like he does.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the main thing. Like, just pushing those limits is like I'm in for the, I guess the championship you could say, and I want to have a good end result. Which my goal is to be top three at the end of the year, which we're on track for that. But I don't know. I seem to think about the big picture too much, and then that kind of hinders me too much. But I don't know. Maybe I just need to just go for it.
Yeah, maybe just try to latch on them, but like you said, it's a long series, and you kind of got to do look at the big picture and maybe not push that extra limit, and you know, be there in the end, and it's gonna probably pay off. So, thank you for coming on, Mike. I really appreciate it. Before I let you go, who do you want to thank for getting you out there?
Yeah, definitely. Just the whole Beta Racing team. They've been a big help, and all the team sponsors that support them. My whole family that's got me into racing, and then yeah, everyone else that cheers me on, I greatly appreciate it, and everyone listening to the show, thanks for listening.
Awesome, man. Well, good luck in Ohio, and then you know, good luck for the rest of the season, and I look forward to watching you.
Yeah, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
See ya.
All right, we'll see you.
No more. Nowadays, all I do is shine. Take a breath and ease my mind. She don't cry no more. She Tell me that I get her high, cause I ain't just supposed to fly. I ain't asking why no more. Oh no, I take it if it's mine, I don't stay inside the lines. It ain't 2009 no more. Yeah, I know what's behind that door. Yeah, okay, you gotta jump in to swim. Well, the light was dim and this life was sin. Now every day I wake up and breathe. I don't have it all, but that's alright with me. Take it nice and easy, took a flight to see me. Send you back home with a light that's beaming. The whole team about to figure it out. We ice cold, that's what winning we're about. And sometimes, sometimes, I wish I took a simpler route. Instead of having demons that's as big as my house. Mm-hmm. Have a ball with a dribble and bounce. Cause the party ain't over till they kicking me out. Yeah, isn't it funny? We can make a lot of money. Buy a lot of things just to feel a lot of ugly. I was yay high and muddy. Looking for what was looking for me. But I don't need to lie no more. Nowadays all I do is shine. Take a breath and ease my mind. She don't cry no more. She tell me that I get her high, cause I ain't just supposed to fly. I ain't asking why no more. Oh no, I take it if it's mine, I don't stay inside the lines. It ain't 2009 no more. Yeah, I know what's behind that door. Yeah, they ask me what I'm smiling for. Well, because I've never been this high before. It's like I never felt alive before. Mm-hmm. I'd rather have me peace of mind than war. You see me and you, we ain't that different. I struck the fuck out and then I came back swinging. Take my time to finish, mind my business. A life ain't a life till you live it. I was digging me a hole, big enough to bury my soul. Weight of the world, I gotta carry my own, with these arms I can carry you home. I'm right here when you scared and alone, and I ain't never in a hurry. You don't never gotta worry, even when it's 7:30 and the time is running low. When your heart get cold, see what's behind all them unturned stones. And I'm a pro when it come to my job, but really I'm just trying to start believing in God. Now when it gets hard, I don't panic, I don't sound the alarm. Because I don't need to lie no more. Nowadays all I do is shine. Take a breath and ease my mind. She don't cry no more. She tell me that I get her high, cause I ain't just supposed to fly. I ain't asking why no more. Oh no, I take it if it's mine, I don't stay inside the lines. It ain't 2009 no more. Yeah, I know what's behind that door. I don't need to lie no more. Nowadays all I do is shine. Take a breath and ease my mind. She don't cry no more. She tell me that I get her high, cause I ain't just supposed to fly. I ain't asking why no more. Oh no, I take it if it's mine, I don't stay inside the lines. It ain't 2009 no more. Yeah, I know what's behind that door.